You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
It's Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're back with Sage Rosenfels on an unorthodox Tuesday. Sage, we're 5 days removed from it, but we still have to talk about Thanksgiving and all that happened on that day. First of all, did you have an enjoyable day aside from football with the festivities and the food and the family and all that?
Absolutely wonderful, and I was up in the Twin Cities. There was great weather for late November. I believe it was 61 on Thanksgiving, and I believe the next couple days it was in the high 30s, low 40s, but sunny. And it was just a beautiful weekend. Walked around Lake Calhoun right there in uptown, and obviously enjoyed a lot of turkey and really enjoyed a really important Vikings win, really separated themselves from the Lions and the Packers in the NFC North.
Yeah, that was enormous. And even though it got dicey at the end, you know, I was saying the day after the game that you just have to escape. A road game against a division opponent is just like the Chicago Bears game earlier in the season. It wasn't pretty. It was much closer than it should have been. But do we remember that now? No, that's part of a seven-game winning streak, as is Thursday's win against Detroit. Case Keenum further solidifies himself. The defense bends a little bit in the second half but survives. That's what it's all about. And I think the big question going forward is Xavier Rhodes had a little bit of trouble against Detroit. How is he going to fare against Julio Jones and the Falcons coming up next week? Because that's going to be an even greater test.
It will be, and a lot to take away from that game. You know, one thing I was just thinking of, it seems like during this seven-game winning streak, that Case Keenum, for the most part, they've had the lead. I think in the Bears game, they were behind at halftime or something when he came in for Sam Bradford. But, you know, for the most part, he has had the lead. So at some point here, you know, I wonder, are the Vikings going to be down 14 points and Case has to bring them back? He has really not had to do that too much yet. Something to look forward to as we head into December. And what you said with this big upcoming matchup, really these next two games, man, they really hit the Vikings with a hard stretch here. At Atlanta, at Carolina, two huge games. Then the last three, very, very winnable. Three games they should win at the end of the season. But these next two will be very challenging. And Julio Jones, probably the most physically talented receiver in the NFL from just pure size, power, strength, speed. Xavier Rhodes is going to have his hands full. That will be hands down probably the best matchup in the whole NFL this week is Xavier Rhodes versus Julio Jones.
Yeah, well, Jones just abused the Bucs. He had 12 catches, 253 yards, two touchdowns. One of them came from Mohamed Sanu on a wildcat pass for 51 yards. But I watched all of those catches back, and it's a lot of intermediate stuff. It's 20, 22, 25-yard catches. He works the sideline well. He's got that deep cross where he runs about 30 yards across the field, sideline to sideline, and makes the catch. He'll sell the post, and then he'll cut out, and he'll totally fool the defensive back. He did that twice against the Bucs. He's obviously got great speed on the go route, and they'll work him in the flat for yards after catch. There's really no element of his game where he lacks. That's an impressive receiver. And he's just passed Adam Thielen in receiving yards with, I think, 1,039 on the year. Thielen's at 1,005. But, by the way, congrats to Adam Thielen on 1,000 yards. Last time we saw a guy do that, it was your teammate, Sidney Rice, back in 2009.
And it wasn't this early in the season, I promise you that. So, yeah, as you said, with Julio Jones, and I watched a lot of that Atlanta game this past weekend, he really showed that he can do it all. And, you know, with how much man-to-man the Vikings play, you're going to see a lot of those deep crossing routes. Those are sort of the routes that give the offensive players a big advantage are play action and then, you know, a deep 20, 25-yard crossing route where those wide receivers can really have time to work and really get separation away from defensive backs. And so, obviously, Xavier's going to have his hands full with trying to cover Julio Jones for, you know, really you're running about 40 yards on those types of plays. He also showed he can run what they call the shake route, which they post and then you break it off and go to the corner, or really almost an out. He ran two or three of those in that game as well. They throw short stuff to him. They throw slants to him, hitches, back shoulder fade routes. He really is a complete wide receiver. He's healthy. And Matt Ryan is really playing with extremely well these last couple weeks. The Atlanta Falcons have had that Super Bowl runner-up hangover, which seems to be going on almost every time a team loses the Super Bowl. But it really does seem like he has gotten used to not having Kyle Shanahan as the offense coordinator, having Steve Sarkisian now as the coordinator. They're two-thirds the way into the season. It seems like they've all gotten used to the game plans and the play calls and those types of things. And right now, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are just on fire.
4-4 start to the season, and then they beat Dallas by 20. They beat Seattle on the road, which is not easy to do. Blair Walsh missed the field goal late that would have tied it. And then they crushed Tampa Bay 34-20. They've averaged over 30 points the last three games. They're 7-4. Matt Ryan, 70% completion percentage in all three of those wins. And while his overall stats this season are not what they were last year, he had 38 TDs, 7 picks, his best season of his career. He's already exceeded the interception total. He's up to 8 picks this year against 16 touchdowns. But the way he's playing the last three games, I think, are more the way he was playing last season. And that's scary for the Vikings to play a team on the road who's playing their best football. Minnesota has two big tests left to survive. And it feels like the Vikings are really going to have a big say in who makes the playoffs in the NFC, because the Falcons, they can't afford to lose. They've got the Saints and Panthers one game ahead of them. They've got the Seahawks on their tail, the Lions on their tail. I mean, this is a massive game for Atlanta, probably bigger than it is for Minnesota.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to those regular season games that feel like playoff games. And for the Falcons, they are definitely in, you know, sort of make or break it, you know, part of their season. And we all know that at the end of the year, usually the last two or three games, it seems like two of them are usually divisional opponents. I'm sure it's no different for Atlanta. This is a good football team. They've been there. They've done it. Their defense, which was sort of a weakness last year, they're very young. They're fast and they're small, but they're a year older. They're a year better and under Dan Quinn's system. And let's not forget about Mohamed Sanu, the guy who threw that 50-yard touchdown pass to Julio Jones in that game. Mohamed Sanu is a very good number two wide receiver. He does a lot of things well. He's no Julio Jones, but he sort of has that same size. He's about 6'4", probably about 220 pounds. He can run some. He's good with deep stuff. He's good with underneath stuff. Does a lot of the dirty work. He sort of reminds me of an Amani Toomer back in the New York Giants days. Nothing too fancy, but just gets the job done and is clutch on third down. So he is definitely a weapon on the other side of Julio Jones as well, that the Vikings are going to have their hands full with him this weekend as well.
Yep, Sanu, number two on their team in receiving yards. Austin Hooper is number three. Taylor Gabriel, number four. He's got great speed. And then Tevin Coleman is a threat out of the backfield. He also leads them in rushing yards, as Devontae Freeman, I think, is still coming back from concussion protocol.
Coleman is a beast. The more I watch him this year, more than last year, it seems like this guy, number 26, he is big and he is strong and extremely explosive and fast. He took a toss sweep or something in that game and just outran the pursuit for about a 30 or so yard touchdown. He is extremely talented running back for the Falcons with not having Devontae Freeman, who is also a very good running back, in their backfield. So a lot of talent at their skill positions in Atlanta.
Yeah, I remember that touchdown you're talking about. They clinched the game for the Falcons, and their two-headed monster of Coleman Freeman is basically a much more efficient version of the Vikings' two-headed attack with McKinnon and Murray. Both of those backs are averaging about 4.5 a carry, and the Vikings' two backs are below 4. That'll be a huge test to stop their running game if both are intact. I kind of have an overarching NFC question here. Let's exclude Philadelphia from the question because they're obviously good. They're obviously the class of the conference right now. Who scares you most after Philadelphia? You've got the Saints, Rams, Panthers, all 8-3, Falcons, 7-4, Seahawks, 7-4. Of that group of five, which team would you not want to face in the playoffs?
I think the Falcons right now, to be honest with you. The Saints are one of those teams I believe are not quite as good as what they, you know, their record may say. Let's go back. They got really destroyed this last weekend. You know, their offense, I believe, put up about 10 points for the majority of that football game, maybe the whole game. Drew Brees was constantly harassed. And then the previous week, you know, they lost they beat with a sort of wild comeback down 15 points to Washington. Washington is just an average to below average football team. So I think the Saints, of any of them, are probably the weakest team who has a really good record, who's sort of winning the division right now. I think they might fall off when they play Carolina and Atlanta again. But I got to think the Falcons, you know, they're the team who's been there. They've done it. And they're getting hot right now, and I can definitely see them winning the NFC South.
And the NFC South basically is going to cannibalize itself in the last month of the season. They all play each other. Atlanta plays the Saints twice and the Panthers once in their last four games. So that's going to decide basically everything. It's going to come down to those divisional games. And Minnesota, I think, is sort of in a spot where they don't need to fret too much about the division anymore. They can set their sights on greater things, which is comforting at this stage of the season. They're well ahead in their division. The Eagles are well ahead in their division. And then you've got big battles in the West and the South.
What's really important is that, you know, we talk about once you feel like you've sort of locked up your division, the Vikings haven't done it yet, but they're getting closer, you know, with each week. But at the next level, then you're talking about home field advantage. You're talking about buys. I mean, in 2009, we had a buy the first round, but we did not have home field advantage. I got to think of Drew Brees and company coming to the Metrodome in 2009. We win that game by, you know, I think two plus touchdowns. Yeah. I think we were that much better of a football team, but going down to New Orleans, one of the toughest places to play in the league, was not to our advantage. So, you know, when you're at this late in the season, you only have two losses. If you're not thinking that every win is crucial because of, one, just getting that bye in the playoffs, and then two, having home field advantage, whether through the first couple rounds or through the championship game, you have to think about all those things. It's not just getting to the playoffs. It's really trying to make yourself – put yourself in the best position to get to the Super Bowl.
I have such a hard time believing coaches who say, we're not too worried about, you know, the standings right now. We'll just add them up when the season's done. And that's definitely the attitude Mike Zimmer takes. And I can't grasp that they're not looking at the bigger picture here. Do you think that's more of a public message and that privately they are focused on the standings? They are thinking at least about the potential for a bye.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're always thinking about, you know, when you're in football meetings all day long, and you know, you're talking with your teammates, whether it's in the locker room or in the cafeteria, you're always sort of discussing things that aren't just about this week, but the broader picture. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, everyone knows at the end of the day, it's all about this week. And winning this week and trying to somehow get a win in Atlanta, somehow gain a win in the following week. It's a week-to-week sport. But at the end of the day, if you don't have just in the back of your mind, what is the grand scheme here? What are our possibilities? I mean, if you look at, you know, teams like Atlanta and Carolina, they're just trying to win their division and get to the playoffs. I don't think they're really thinking about home field advantage, being that they all have like four losses. The Vikings should be legitimately thinking about home field advantage and getting byes in the first round.
Absolutely. There's plenty more to learn this week about the Vikings injury situation that we don't know much right now. Andrew Sendejo missed the last game. We'll see if he's healthier. Mike Remmers had a concussion. He missed last game. We'll see if he's healthier. And we'll go from there with the Vikings. They practice on Wednesday for the first time this week at 1 p.m., and then Thursday and Friday as well to get ready for Atlanta. So, Sage, we'll touch base with you later in the week. We'll talk more about this Falcons team and how it's shaping up.
Should be an absolutely great matchup on Sunday. Probably the best NFL game of the week, in my opinion.
Yep, definitely might be. And you don't often get games like this late in the year. And I think not just this game, but the NFL's got a really nice schedule shaping up with a lot of, like we talked about, the NFC South's going to have some great games. You've got the Eagles playing the Rams coming up. They're playing the Seahawks, I think, this week. So there's going to be some really good matchups in this league. This is Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network. He's Sage Rosenfels. I'm Sam Ekstrom. Subscribe on iTunes. leave a review for a chance to win a Pro Football Focus subscription and drop your Twitter handle in the review. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.